Good evening, everyone. It is once again and a joy and a privilege for us to come around the God's Word and to once again look at this most important subject of worship in the life of a believer. We had the privilege of looking last 4 weeks, various aspects of worship, and we will continue for a short time to finish up the subject that is before us. There are so many questions people have asked, you know, over the years, and some of those questions we will ask ourselves and try to answer some of those questions tonight before we close. What an appropriate song that we sang. When we have questions or doubts on anything spiritual, anything biblical, anything scriptural, anything church, or your own personal life that matters, we always should and we must turn to the scriptures. That is what we tried to do last few weeks, and nothing was added to what the scripture says. And I was very happy this morning. Jason brought right along that same thought that we are not to change anything what God has put in all of His scripture. We have no right to change anything, add, modify, delete of any sort. And there will be sometimes consequences, either here on this earth or for sure, we will feel that when we get to heaven. So this evening, what we will do is, we were in the last week at the closing time, we were asking some questions and try to answer in the sense of why worship. And we found the answer for that when we also looked at when to worship, where to worship, how to worship, and how long to worship. Let me share my screen. Okay. So today, today we will continue on the same series of questions. And then we'll come back to our study. So we are in the main theme of bridging the old and the new. And in that subsection, we have the shadows of substance that we've been looking at last few weeks. How expressing worship? How do we express worship is another question we will try to answer. Most of these things were in the closing minutes of last week and today, but at the beginning of this time, is very practical aspects of worship. So expressing worship is one of them. How do we express our worship to God? And there are many ways that can be done. It can include and appropriate scripture portions is definitely one of them that we all will agree upon. An appropriate scripture portion will help us to examine our heart and as well as to bring our heart to closer to God and have a great vision of the God's majesty and wonders of who He is, that will help us to worship. So the scripture portion is probably the number one which can express in our worship. And this is one of the reasons most assemblies have the opportunity that we encourage brothers to come with appropriate scripture portions. There are, isn't it all scripture is by by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it is. But there are some passages and chapters and are very appropriate to bring our hearts to worship. So that is something to be very definitely to be noted by all of us. Now, the second expression is worship through prayer. The moment I say the word prayer, immediately our thought will go to asking for something. You know, that is how prayer is looked at. Asking for healing or asking for personal needs. That is not the prayer when we say pray. Let's pray at the worship meeting. Somebody says, let's pray. It is not for healing. It is not for personal needs. It is not for my friend who need a job. All that prayer is different than a worship prayer. That is totally lifting up our hearts to worship. In other words, in this prayer, everything is giving unto God and nothing asking from God. In our, although that word is used, we can, and sometimes you may have noticed, some of us will say, let us worship instead of saying prayer. It may not be wrong to use the word prayer, but the understanding of word, using the word prayer at worship, it simply means that we are there to give unto Him and not asking for anything to receive from Him. Of course, when we give to God, there will be benefits of giving back to us as blessing by God. That is up to God, but we are not there to ask for it. So this is probably the worship prayer is the most appropriate way, I would say, since the Lord Jesus himself gave thanks for the loaf at the institution of the supper. He prayed in the sense and giving thanks to God his Father. So that is a very appropriate method of expressing our worship before him. You know, I hope that we are encouraged these days to express our prayer, our worship through prayers. You may not have to read the scriptures all the time. We could worship just by standing up and giving thanks to the Lord. I remember some years ago, which servant of God said, if you have nothing else to say in your worship when you get up on your feet, just get up and say, Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Amen. And sit down. That brings joy to the heart of God. So I would suggest that the most appropriate way of expressing our worship is simply to get up and thank him, exalt him, remember him, and worship him through words. And one thing to, as a side note, when we worship through prayer, we should be addressing to the Father. We sometimes believers will be, oh God the Father, thank you for dying for me. Although it is a very innocent statement, God the Father did not die for us. It is God the Son who died for us. So we should be addressing to the Father. So although we may not intentionally say the Father dying on the cross, sometimes I have heard people pray. So when you are addressing to the Father, you should be addressed to him, exalting him, thanking him, remembering his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Then the third aspect of it is probably the hymns. Once again, I put the word appropriate there. There are hymns that are good songs that encourages us, that will be such a blessing to sing, but it may not be appropriate to worship. Of course, we saw a couple of weeks ago, a song was part of their time together at the Lord's institution of the Lord's Supper, because the disciples, they sang a song, as we read in Matthew 26:30. So song is appropriate in the worship, but song should be an appropriate song that will lift him up. We should be careful in the sense of Is the song really talking about God himself and his glory, his majesty, his all what he is and what he has done, rather than talking about ourselves and exalting us in the song? So hymns are probably the third appropriate expression of worship. Now, then the next one is probably the last one. He's speaking in short meditations. Sometimes there are believers who will think that I have to get up and speak for 15 minutes. That is not necessary. That is, honestly speaking, in my opinion, that is out of place. We should have short meditations that will lift our hearts, the listeners, to the heart of God, encouraging them to worship. Definitely, it is a good thing to do, but I would suggest even worship through prayer should be a greater importance than just short meditations. So all these are the methods of that we can worship. Because as we saw that last week, I believe, that the New Testament church worship is all spiritual and nothing physical. We don't come there with a sacrifice or altar or anything of that sort. Although all that has been done and completed for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here is the last one that many of you are going to love it. We can silence worship in silence. We have a perfect example when the Lord Jesus Christ rose again and appeared to the Marys. When he appeared to them, the very first thing they did is to fall at his feet and worship. I may have said this before. You do not read one word, they said, but quietly, in silence, they worship. So worship in silence is acceptable to God, but there are other things that are of high priority. And I'm sure many of you are going to love me for the last one. Oh, I can worship in silence. Yes, you can, but there are other things in the expression of worship. Now also we come to giving is a form of worship. Paul advised them in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1, to lay up in store at home that which can be brought the first day of the week. Simply because it is connected to the bringing it to the first day of the week, giving is a form of worship. It is an appreciation of God himself when we give. That is probably one of the reasons that many assemblies choose to have an offering right at the end of the worship. So there are several forms of how do we express our worship when we come together. Now we go into some of the practical ones. How about music, singing, instruments? These are questions that are in the minds of many at different times. There is no recorded use of instruments in the New Testament where the assembly is gathered. Let me repeat that. There is no recorded use of instruments in the New Testament where the assembly is gathered. But the use of instrument is nowhere prohibited in the New Testament. It doesn't say use it or don't use it. If it has no place at all, I am very sure the Holy Spirit will put that very strongly in the scriptures, say this is prohibited. So, but there is no prohibition in the New Testament either. New Testament worship is all about him and nothing else. No other thoughts should come to our mind. It is not to emotionally raise our emotions. It is simply to think about him. Yes, our emotions can raise when we think about him, but it is all about him and him alone. As long as the use of instruments is not a show business that exalts man and not the Lord, I would recommend personally that use of instruments, as we do at the LBC, of a piano when we sing together, it is not to exalt the piano player. It is not to exalt anyone else. It is not to raise our emotions, but it is simply to coordinate our singing that will exalt him. Since it is not prohibited, that is one reason that the elders chose some years back to use it because our singing was all over the place with the different tones and different backgrounds, especially as a mixed culture of people as we are. It was absolutely necessary and it helps a lot. But our center of thought should never depart, even during singing, whether we have piano or not piano. Unfortunately, in today's world, no, the so-called worship using music is exalting man and not the Lord. I have been to singing sessions. I have listened to CDs and some of those. Words are not clear what they are saying. Even this morning, I was on my way to the chapel and I was trying to listen to something. I heard big noise. I could not understand one word that what were they singing. Because the loud noise of music overtook the words. That doesn't help me to worship because it is nothing but noise. Here at ELBC, we use the piano for the purpose of coordination in our singing without any human show or glory. If any of you ever notice there is any human glory, please come and talk to us. We like to hear from you. So there are many ways of worship, many ways of expressing worship, and the use of instrument is not given anywhere in the New Testament, but it is not prohibited either. Now, our whole concentration should be Him and Him alone and nothing else. Now, leading worship, this is another subject that is conflicting and confusing to many. Can I, as a human being, lead the worship? And Scripture does not say anything about that at all. It is the Holy Spirit that leads and guides worship. If it is not, it will be very evident, but it will not reach to the heavens and it will not satisfy the heart of God. It will be nothing but a human effort to do something. So there is no such thing as a human worship leader. We have a worship leader which is the Holy Spirit. We should never replace Him with another human being. We are all priests. We looked at it in the past, able to bring worship to God. Every one of us, man, woman, a boy or a girl who is baptized as in fellowship, we are priests unto God and we are able to bring worship to God. The woman's role in worship is no less important. The woman's role in worship is no less important, but it is done in silence, as we saw in Matthew chapter 28 earlier. This is based on headship. Why is that? There are people even today argue among the assemblies. Why can't the ladies get up and pray in worship? This the restriction that we read in the 1 Corinthians 14:34 and other passages is based on headship, which goes back to creation. And Paul brings that very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Men who are able have the responsibility. We have men, if you're listening to me, we have the responsibility to be ready to be used by the Holy Spirit, our worship leader, in leading the local saints in worship. Don't ever take that responsibility lightly. It is not to the elders, it is not to the deacons, or it is not to anyone else. It is for any able men who has the responsibility to be ready to be used by the worship leader, the Holy Spirit, in equipping and leading the saints in worship. I do not know how much more I can emphasize this one statement in all our hearts. If you forget everything I say tonight, I would hope that you would remember this. Question: how should I prepare for worship? As in most things, you need to be in prayer, reading the word, and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you. There is no shortcut. We have to be prepared in our heart. That preparation will take only in our prayerful attitude and reading the scriptures and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you. There are many times you will be sitting in the meeting and somebody speaks or somebody one song is sung, the Spirit of God will prompt you to do or say things that is very appropriate to lift our hearts to God. And what happens in most cases, I would suggest, is that we simply ignore the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And there are excuses that we can apply to that. There are many excuses I have heard people say. But if the Spirit of God leads you to guide you, it will happen if your mind is tuned in prayer and reading the scriptures, allowing the Spirit of God talk to you and use you for that. So that is one preparation that you can do before worship. And when you prepare, the goal should not be to find something to share at worship. Sunday morning, 9:15, we have to leave home at 8 o'clock or something, and somebody pick up the Bible and go through quickly and look for something to say. That is not what the scripture I am talking about. But to be consistently in the Word so the Spirit can call to mind to share. If you are tuned to the Holy Spirit of God, in the mind of worship, in the mind of prayer, and with the help of the Word of God, throughout the week, it's not just Saturday night or Sunday morning, the Spirit will really lead you to worship. And I can, if I give time here, many who are listening to me at this moment can testify this fact. And I'm sure almost all of you can testify how the Spirit of God lead you to worship in such a way it will uplift and bring glory and honor to you. Problem with many among us is we simply ignore the prompting of the Holy Spirit. That's one thing, or they are totally unprepared. My mind is somewhere else and thinking of other things. Here's a suggestion. I can give you a Bible verse for this. If you are serious in preparation, arrive early enough to give yourself to quietly prepare your mind to worship. If the song starts at 9:15 and if you run in at 9:17 or 9:20 or whenever, your mind is all over the place. Your mind is not concentrated. You have to be concentrated mind to worship God, because this is a very serious business of a believer. Should worship be the first meeting of the assembly for the week? Can we have the Bible study in the morning or message at the beginning and worship at the end or whatever? You know, should it be the first meeting of the assembly for the week? Well, the answer is local assemblies have varied of arrangements what the elders think is best, simply because the order of our meetings is nowhere given. It is totally up to the elders of a local body what is best for that particular church. If I am in ELBC and we have a certain method of meeting schedules, that doesn't mean if I move to Alaska, I can go and dictate to there, this is how we did it in Dallas, we should do it here. No, it is up to the local elders to do what is best in that situation. We are not given instruction on the timing or the sequence of meetings of the assembly. Interestingly, if you notice in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, breaking of bread is listed as the third. There are four things mentioned. Breaking of bread is listed as third. That is not to say it is the third in priority. It is simply in the listing of it. So again, the timing and the sequence is not important. That's what it means. But it is not suggesting the sequence in that verse. Next question. Should grape juice be used instead of wine? I've heard people ask this in my own life, short life, I should say. The only instruction given to us in the scripture is that at the time of instituting the Lord's Supper, they used the fruit of the vine. And very likely, they did use the actual vine. But of course, there are people who have said the wine that was used in those days by even ordinary people was nothing close to the strength of today. The percentage of alcohol is extremely high in today's wine, most of them, although I am not an expert on it. But in any case, they did use wine. Very likely, they used the wine. So that was not an example as long as it is the fruit of the vine. So the difference between real wine and grape juice is only this, the way it is fermented, and it is the fruit of the vine. And the Lord did not tie our hands with such small things. The importance of the wine is, or the juice is, it is the remembrance of Him. It is the remembrance of Him and the blood that He shed for us. If you forget that and argue about the basics, then we can lose the very important of remembering Him. Again, it is up to the elders to decide what to use, because simply it is not commanded what to use, since there is no clear instruction given to us. Some assemblies use juice to accommodate believers who are previously alcoholic before they became believers. And they do not prefer to ever taste again any alcohol content. Therefore, the elders will choose to say, I know the one assembly, or at least two assemblies, I remember now, where I went. They said, we do not use it because we have believers in our midst who became believers who were alcoholic before, and they hesitate to take part or even taste again any alcoholic beverage. So that's a practical explanation of what they do. But as long as the scriptural requirement is to be the fruit of the vine. Next question. Who should pass the bread and cup? Not many people ask this question, but they practice differently. It may not be wrong in the practice, but that practice become a teaching or a doctrine, and then it is wrong. As with the rest of the Lord's Supper, this is also controlled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one who is leading us to worship. Who handles the bread and the cup, it is also controlled by the Holy Spirit. It is to be performed by a male, as with the forms of leading the assembly in worship. That is why only men participate or pass the bread and cup. Now, I remember in one particular assembly, not in the US or in India, but in another part of the world, there was a sister who was passing the cup. I didn't have any comment on that because if you go very basic of the scripture, can we say yes or no on that? I would say personally, in my conviction, no. Every man, including elders and deacons and other all men, should be able and willing, as the Spirit leads, to give thanks and pass the bread and cup. Now, in our midst, ELBC, we have men scheduled for a whole month now. It used to be 2 months, but now every month we schedule somebody. We cannot say that the elders or whoever prayerfully or the brothers who are coordinating that, it is not controlled by the Holy Spirit. It is controlled by the Holy Spirit when somebody's names are mentioned. For practical purposes, we ask brothers to be prepared prayerfully a service to the Lord and His people. There is nothing wrong in that. That can be still controlled by the Holy Spirit. The same situation about speaking, messages. Well, it should be controlled by the Holy Spirit. But if I schedule Brother Rajan for next month, we cannot say it is not controlled by the Holy Spirit. It is by the help of the Holy Spirit, prayerfully we schedule people. So it's the same situation, I believe, at the bread and cup passing. I don't have time. Why we started doing that, if any of you have a question why we started in ELBC, I can you contact me, I can give you the reason why we started. Nowhere in the scripture mentions it as the responsibility of the elders. I want you to listen to this carefully. Nowhere in the scripture mentions it as the responsibility of the elders only, as practiced in many assemblies. That elders only touch the Lord's table has made, I would say, havoc in many places. People who are not qualified to be elders, if they touch the emblems, they become elders. And I've seen that happen in my own eyes. So again, that becomes a teaching, a doctrine, a wrong doctrine. That is not how elders are ordained in the church. It is never limited to elders only. So earlier, in the earlier statement, including elders, deacons, all men should be able to give thanks and pass the bread and the cup. Next question. One brother says, I am not eloquent like some of the brothers. Should I lead in worship? Well, he should not lead in worship. He should participate in worship. The only prerequisites to leading the assembly in worship are, number one, being a believer, being a male, not under discipline of the assembly, being led by the Holy Spirit. Those are the only four prerequisites that we can see from the scriptures. It does not say how eloquent you are in speaking. That's why I said earlier, if you are not eloquent enough, you could just get up and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And that will satisfy the heart of God. So that is one question that was, at least there are people who I heard people say, people have told that to me also at some time in the past. Being eloquent is not a requirement in the scripture for participation in worship. Next question. How long should a brother speak in worship? I'm sure this question comes to everybody's mind at some point. It is directed by the Holy Spirit, as is all of worship. If you are truly directed and helped by the Holy Spirit, you will know how long. Because the Spirit of God knows how long. Only He knows. But a brother should keep in mind that the priesthood is composed of all believers, and that there are other men the Spirit will use in worship. So if you have 45 minutes to participate, if somebody takes 30 minutes, you are not being careful or careful enough, knowing that there are other priests in the midst whom the Spirit of God could use. So is there a time, is there 2 minutes, 5 minutes limit? No, it has to be led by the Holy Spirit, but we should also keep in mind there are other priests in our midst whom the Spirit of God can use. If a brother consistently take a majority of time, this is an interesting statement, it would be up to the elders to determine whether this is of the Spirit or not. It is not for everyone in the assembly to judge or condemn. But most cases, the elders won't do this. What should be done with the leftover bread and wine? I don't know if anybody has asked you this question or any ever it crossed your mind. There is no reference in the New Testament concerning this question. There is no biblical answer for this question. But since there is no clear instruction given, it is up to the elders to set in order how anything left over will be dealt with. But it should be done decently, with honor, and you know, as soon as the meeting is over, don't take the bread to the street and give it to the dogs. I mean, I may be a little out of order here in that saying that, but it should be done orderly, and it is up to the elders of the local assembly how to deal with it. What should our physical position be in worship? The position to worship can take many forms, including kneeling, sitting, and standing. I've been to assemblies where they do all three of this. In our place situation, most of the time, almost all the time, and as a year we see, we chose to sit down and continue to worship. The position is not dictated in the scripture. There does not appear to be any prescribed way within the scripture which position that we should hold. Which hymn book should be used? Interesting. We have no scriptural help, with the exception that hymns or hymn books used should in themselves contain sound verses. If it is scripturally sound, appropriate for worship, there is nothing that says which song or which song hymn book to use in worship. I know many years ago, I knew some brothers were so adamant, we must only use the black book. They will put away all other books during the remembrance meeting, so people won't use it. The hymn books, any hymn book, whether it is black, red, white, or yellow, or blue, it is not ordained by God. This is human choices of compiling books, songs together. Some of them are great songs to think about and remember and worship the Lord. Praise the Lord for such songs. So there is no clear instructions on that. Verses should be scripturally sound, exalting the Lord and not ourselves, which is the case of many so-called worshipers of today. As in the case of few songs, whether it be old song or new song, it should always scripturally sound, exalting the Lord during worship. Is it okay to use the new choruses in worship? As with the hymns, the issue is whether they are scriptural and are appropriate for the activity. Excuse me. Old doesn't make it scriptural, new doesn't make it scriptural. All it matters is to review the words and make sure it is not contradicting, nothing contradicting the scripture. If these conditions are met, we see no scriptural reason why a chorus could not be used for worship. Just a side note, here at ELBC, the elders screen all new songs or choruses to establish scriptural accuracy before it is introduced to the meeting. We have asked the people who are singing or leading or coordinating that if it is a new song, either they screen themselves and make sure it is a scripturally sound, or in most cases, it is being forwarded to the elders and we review them and give okay or not okay. So that is just a side note, our practice here at ELBC. What should saints wear for dress when gathering for worship? These are some very, very extremely practical questions. Little is given concerning the dress. Nothing says you should have a three-piece suit and a bow tie or whatever ties that you use. But there is a general condition that is given to the women in 1 Timothy 2:9-19 that is applicable to any meeting of the assembly, or generally speaking, our conduct itself, to adorn themselves in modest apparel and not to draw attention to themselves. That should be the criteria, whether it be the worship meeting or any other meeting of God's gathering together. We must not wear such things that will draw attention from others to yourself. The priests of the Old Testament wore clean, simple clothing, with the exception of the high priest, who is a picture of Christ. We have great details about the high priest and his dress, but the ordinary priests wear clean, simple clothing as far as we know. They are to be covered as not to show their nakedness. That is a general practice as we saw in 1 Timothy 2:9-19. Next question. I'm almost done here. Worship is the highest occupation of a true believer. These are some conclusion statements. We saw that in Noah. As soon as he came out of the ark, the very first thing at least recorded what Noah did is to worship God? Is it the highest occupation in your life? Simplicity in worship, yet profound. Old and New Testament examples we looked through last few weeks. It is simple, but yet don't forget the fact it is a profound timing when we come together to worship God. Priority in life for worship. Worship went along with when Abraham moved from place to place. He never left worship behind. It was part of his life. It went along with him. And that shows how what the priority in his life was. Let me ask you, what is your priority in life? We all move from place to place, but don't forget the priority in worship. This morning we were very strongly taught, no deviation from the pattern will satisfy the heart of God. How simple you are, how sincere you are, if any deviation from the pattern will not satisfy the heart of God. When we come together to worship, we let that second week, I believe, we saw 9 components of worship, and yet all must be present when we come together to worship. What are those components? I'll come to that and we'll close. All 9 components of worship we saw at the time Abraham and Isaac went to offer his son as a sacrifice. Isaac was the sacrifice, the best Abraham had. When you come to worship, are you offering to God the best you can, even with our feeble body in which we live? Isaac was a sacrifice in that. That's number one. Number two, shedding of blood was involved. Our Lord already fulfilled this, and we do come together to remember the blood that was shed for us. Did it on a mountain, that means a separation from the world and drawing closer to God, forgetting all other things of this world, concentrating on our minds upon Him. So the mountain experience simply means a separation from all other things and a concentrated mind for Him. There was an altar at the time. There was fire representing the Holy Spirit. There was preparation by Abraham, Isaac, and his servants. Preparation was there. We looked at that a few weeks ago, how important it is, what the preparation is. Wood was placed in order, order in worship. It is not just somebody to come here, irresponsibly and do or say something and go home and thinking we worshiped. No, there is order in worship, and it must be done orderly. A substitute was given, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our substitute on my behalf and yours. Isaac is living today, a resurrected Lord Jesus. So these are the 9 components of worship that we saw at the beginning. Can we worship without all these components? Personally, I believe no. It will not be fully complete without Him. That is one of the reasons that the assemblies are around the globe, who came to the very basics of God's word and practices of the New Testament church, that we do observe and we the Lord's Supper, and without which I wonder if the worship is complete. I will let you answer that question yourself, and your priority in worship and your commitment in that to worship the living God, the one who chose you and made you your child, made you a worshiper, made you a priest unto God. May the Lord help these thoughts to myself and all of yours as we conclude this study here. I'm sorry, it took about 5 minutes extra. Brother Sam, if you are online, could you close in prayer? My throat is not good.
Sure. Let's pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your love and mercy, Father. Thank you, Lord, for enabling us to go through the study on worship this past month. And thank you for enabling Uncle to take the study, Lord. And we thank you for encouraging us through these reminders of worship, Lord. And what a precious privilege it is that we, as children of the Most High God, have this responsibility, have this privilege, have this access into your presence to worship and adore and magnify a great and mighty God, Lord God of heaven and earth. Father, we praise you and thank you for helping us, Lord, even today, one more day, one more opportunity to be able to worship you this morning with the saints. We thank you for helping us, Lord, to do so with a group of your people that you have established here. Father, help us to be a people who will be found always in the center of your will, doing your will, glorifying your name, Father. And Lord, we pray that as we continue in the study of your word together, that you will bless and guide and keep us, O Lord, that we may be found acceptable in your sight. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will be with us through the rest of the week. Pray that you will guide and keep us, O Lord, in the center of your will. We pray for the study next month. We pray for Brother Arturo as he'll be preparing for that. We pray that you will speak to us, O Lord, prepare him. And prepare our hearts and minds also, that we may be able to study the word of God together, that we may be found to be found acceptable in your sight as a group of your people, Father, diligently studying your word and being obedient to your word also. Thank you for all your goodness, your love and faithfulness to us, Father. And help us, Lord, as we wait upon you. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm.